And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Woo! What a day it was yesterday when we got off the air. We're going to spend a lot of the show today obviously reacting to what went on in Knoxville. Jeremy Pruitt out. Philip Fulmer, quote-unquote, retiring. A lot to get to on that front today. Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock, David Ubben, our man from The Athletic, will join us. We'll get into the NFL at 9 o'clock with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. And Chris Mason drops by at 9:30 to discuss the latest on the Nashville Predators. Joe Rexroad, how we doing, my man?
Called shot. Call that shot, baby.
Nailed it. Hey,
it took about 5 seconds for you to take that victory lap, Joe.
Exactly. I'm glad I reiterated at the end of the show yesterday. I should have been a little stronger with it.
You look very smart now, and it took like literally an hour after we get off the air yesterday for you to look very smart. So well done, Joe Rexroad, on your called shot. You're correct. Jeremy Pruitt will not be the coach for the Tennessee Volunteers to begin next season. So chalk another one up for Joe Rexroad. We'll get to more of that here in just a second. The Nashville Predators did play last night. They lost 4-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. And fellas, hockey's a funny game sometimes. I thought last night, as a whole, probably the best game that they've played up until this point, and that's the game they wind up losing. Now 2-1 on the season. Pecorine makes his first start of the season. I thought he played well. I mean, obviously, you look at the box score and the amount of shots he faced, the numbers probably aren't going to tell you that he played well. I thought he made some key saves last night, and the Predators looked great at times offensively, but just not able to convert. Had some mistakes that they made in their own or on the offensive attack that led to odd man rushes in their own end. And sometimes hockey's a funny game, Joe. That's how it works.
Well, and even I'm trying to think, at least one of those goals was an odd man rush right after they hit the post.
Yeah.
But I believe they had two of them were right after Primo scoring chances for them, right? And
yeah.
Then it's back the other way in a half a second. But I agree. I thought they played well. I thought it was a good game. I thought they played well. I agree that, you know, Pecorine played well. I don't know. Did any of those goals, last couple, did you think, you know, he should have stopped?
I don't know.
The
one that I guess sticks out to me is the Trocheck one, which was, I think was Carolina's second goal of the game. It's a turnover in your own zone. And Trocheck, you know, kind of collapses on the puck. Yeah, Grimaldi's turnover. Then Trocheck fires one from the circle. I mean, it's a great shot. That's one you'd like your goalie probably to come up with at that point. And the other one is, you know, it's a 2-on-1 with Svechnikov and Aho. Good luck at that point. So I don't have much of a problem with that one. But if I had to pick one, yeah, probably that one, that one by Trocheck. But, you know, it was one of those weird things. Like you said, I mean, they got a chance off a turnover there from Grimaldi. They got a chance, you know, coming down the other side off a post that was hit. And then on the Aho goal, you got Josi and Arvidsson deep into the zone offensively, and they've got a chance to score, and you miss the net. And when you miss the net, Yossi's way down low. Arvidsson's basically behind the goal line, and the puck bounces out, and Carolina is on a rush. And of all the teams around the league, Carolina's pretty near the top of the list that you don't want to give odd man rushes to with the speed and talent that they have. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about defensively. They've got to clean some things up, and they do. But a lot of it last night was just offense. You got to hit the net to make sure the puck doesn't rim around and you've got chances going the other way.
Right. And Arvidsson, of course, gets banged up, does get a goal, which was, I mean, he had many chances last night.
He did.
And finally buried one. I mean, I thought, man, Johansson had the one play where he goes through everyone. He's snake bit too right now. He had the power play shot where and I'm trying to remember who dropped that pass to him there, but it was perfect. And he was just a little bit off. They had a lot of chances.
They did. You know, I thought Duchesne was great last night. I thought he played really well. I mean, the bottom line is if you play that way most nights and you're able to generate those chances, you're probably going to like the result at the end of it. But as we know, that's not always the case in hockey, and that was one of those last night. There are a couple things they need to clean up in transition for sure on defense. But all in all, again, like I said, I thought of the three games they've played, I probably liked their game from start to finish the most last night, and that's the one that they end up losing. So hockey can be tough sometimes, and you just hope if you bring that effort to the table more nights than not, you end up on the winning side of things.
Yeah, I mean, boy, and it's right back at it with these guys. So it's interesting, you know, the familiarity and the like these mini these mini playoff series. Not that there aren't back to backs against teams at times, you know, excuse me, in a normal year, but it's already just feels different the way that you know the way the schedule is.
It does, and we will have another edition of Preds Pick the Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. At 8:45, we are 2 for 2 in Preds Pick the Click so far from our listeners. So you'll have your chance to guess your goal score for the Nashville Predators tonight coming up around 8:45. And we'll see if we can go 3 for 3 starting tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. And without further ado, Joe, let's get into the mess that is the Tennessee Volunteers in Knoxville. Shortly after we get off the air yesterday, right around 11 o'clock, it comes out that Jeremy Pruitt has been fired from the University of Tennessee, and not only fired, fired with cause, which means that the buyout, as of now, is not going to be paid to Jeremy Pruitt. And in the same article from Blake Topmeyer of the Knoxville News Sentinel, which again we'll have on at 7 o'clock here on our show, Philip Fulmer is quote-unquote retiring when the replacement is found at athletic director. Joe, obviously a lot to get into, a lot that happened yesterday, including a press conference that was awkward to watch, to be honest with you. But we'll just start simply with this. What was your reaction when you saw the news that Pruitt was fired, that Fulmer was retiring, and that Pruitt had been fired for cause?
Well, I wasn't shocked by any of it. It is, I mean, had the stuff Friday not happened, then I think it's just like I would have been, okay, all right, yep. It was just a matter of time for this to happen. The stuff Friday was an interesting kind of late, you know, curveball. But clearly, and we talked about this yesterday, like, well, until he doesn't have the job, he has the job. Yep. So, hey, you know, do your job. Go try to get players to come back. I mean, you think about how someone like Henry Toto'o feels right now, though, yeah. You know, because from him, his perspective, I'm sure he looked at it like, wow, Coach Pruitt flew all the way out here. That means this must have been sanctioned by the university that he would fly out here. So, okay, I feel good about Coach Pruitt being back, and then this happens. So the reaction to the news, I was not stunned. It was quite a series of boom, 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 you know. But, I mean, we'll get into the press conference. It was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And I tell you what, Tennessee can put on some doozies, man. They have got some. Now I go back. Now there's three that really come to mind. I go back to and this is right before I moved here. But if you remember the all the coaches press conference with Dave Hart.
Oh yeah.
When they had the Title IX issues going back, I guess 2016. That was bizarre. Then you've got the. Okay, we fired John Curry. He was on a plane. We couldn't reach him. The coaching search is a disaster. But Coach Fulmer, come on back, buddy. That's the weirdest press conference I've ever been to. But yesterday was terrible. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was so ridiculous. And it's just, you know, it's a demonstration of, to me, like complete lack of regard for the public. And really just a complete belief that the public is stupid. I mean, that's what it is.
No, that's exactly what it was. I mean, and that's what this whole thing was about yesterday. And again, we'll get into more of that here in just a second. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if you're Pruitt in this conversation, what happens from now, because, you know, obviously the university has come out and said that you've been fired for cause, which means that you're not going to get your buyout, which I believe, according to Topmeyer, is $12.6 million for Pruitt specifically. And, you know, obviously his legal representation has already commented on this and talked about Tennessee and the way that they've handled this situation and how it seems like this has been an intentional act to kind of renege on the money that that Pruitt was owed, even going back to a contract extension that he signed 4 months ago at this point. So I'm very fascinated to see where this goes with Jeremy Pruitt. Obviously, if you're Tennessee, you feel like the matter is closed and you've gotten away from not being able to pay him his buyout. But obviously, Jeremy Pruitt's not just going to let that happen. He's going to try to fight this from a legal perspective.
Yes, his lawyer, and no surprise here either, but I thought, and frankly, I thought the lawyer's statement was pretty effective, yeah. You know, detailing how they met yesterday, and really, it was sort of not really made clear to Pruitt, and then, boom, all of a sudden, he gets this email, and he's out, and then the media gets it at the same time. A lot of the lawyer statement was, you know, this leaking to the media and trying to get public opinion on your side is sort of a demonstration of the fact that this is, you know, an unjust firing. So this is just going to go on and on. I can't imagine that he's actually going to walk away with nothing here. To me, it's just like, what's the number? But, you know, at the same time, we haven't seen everything from the report. I don't think there's anything in there that directly has Jeremy Pruitt giving cash to a kid. If that's the case, then I think he's fired with cause. He gets nothing. I'll be surprised if that's the case.
I will be too. And it's also interesting if you're Tennessee, like, how do you want to handle this? Because look, I get it. It's pretty obvious they wanted to get Jeremy Pruitt out of there. And I've made no secret about it. I mean, he can't coach this team. He's not qualified to coach the Tennessee Volunteers. I've made that pretty clear for the last few months. But it's also like, how hell bent are you going to be if you're Tennessee to get out of here without paying his buyout? And then also recognizing you've got NCAA problems right now. Like, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, and I think David Ubbin, or maybe it was Wes Rucker yesterday, talked about this, is, you know, what's the number if you're Tennessee to get Jeremy Pruitt to just go away and not start talking and not start running his mouth to the NCAA. I mean, if you're Tennessee, you've got to keep that part of it in mind as well. And it seems like with everything they did yesterday, that's not even on their radar.
Well, yeah. Now, I agree with that. Now, I also say this. You know, Jeremy Pruitt has got to be in a certain amount of damage control too, because he wants to have his career rehabilitated. I'm sure he will go through the Nick Saban car wash here, probably be an analyst at Alabama next year. And, you know, at the least, you know, he can probably, it's funny. So I've been talking to some coaches for something else I'm writing on this. And one of them said yesterday, man, you know, Pruitt's going to be an analyst and that D coordinator at Alabama is going to be sweating bullets. But, you know, he's, I don't think he's going to like absolutely torch the entire earth here with this, because he's got his own career to preserve. But I understand the sentiment. There's got to be a certain threat of that. And he knows a lot. And, you know, he can say a lot. Of course, Tennessee, I mean, they fired 10 people here, so it wasn't just him. I mean, they cleared some personnel out yesterday.
They did, and now Philip Fulmer will also be out the door. He has decided to retire Joe Rexroth, so also an athletic director will need to be hired. That's going to be the first step that Tennessee takes, is hiring an athletic director and then going to a coach from there. Kevin Steele right now is the acting head coach of the Tennessee football program. But it's interesting. All of a sudden, a change of heart for Philip Fulmer. He decides now's the best time to walk away from the program.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you know, shocking. Hey, I mean, it works out quite well. I mean, my goodness. I mean, like some of the stuff that was said in the presser, you know, again, like basically just vilifying Jeremy Pruitt, like no integrity, you know, and then Philip Fulmer, the paragon of virtue. Look, man, it's just like, why the hyperbole? Do we really have to say that you're never been prouder of Philip Fulmer than the night he was holding the crystal football above his head? I mean, really? Are we seriously going there?
Oh.
It's just incredible, man. You know, and I'm not, I mean, look, Fulmer, look, it was a stopgap. I mean, I agree with some of what he said. Like he said, the next coach should have the AD. I agree. I mean, I think that's a reasonable reason. Now, the idea that this has nothing to do with this, of course, that's stupid, but that's reasonable. But is there really this need to do what was done in the presser yesterday? I don't think it was. And of course, Fulmer had some interesting moments himself in that presser.
He sure did, and we'll react to some of those when we come back on the other side of the break. A press conference that was one of the strangest and really most awkward that I have ever seen in my entire life took place in Knoxville yesterday. We'll react to that. Also introduce our poll question of the day on Twitter and get your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you think of all this? What do you think of Jeremy Pruitt being fired at Tennessee, and where does Tennessee go from here? We'll take your reaction all show long. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Based upon what we know, it is clear that Coach Pruitt did not adequately promote an atmosphere of compliance and or monitor the activities of the coaches and the staff who reported to him. Accordingly, today, Athletic Director Fulmer and I agree that we have no choice but to move forward with terminating Coach Pruitt. He was provided his termination letter this afternoon.
That was Tennessee Chancellor Dondi Plowman yesterday at a press conference announcing the firing of Jeremy Pruitt, the retirement of Athletics Director Philip Fulmer. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, that was kind of the beginning of a press conference yesterday that I'm not sure if Tennessee could have handled it any worse. It was up there just basically turning into a sideshow of blaming Jeremy Pruitt for absolutely everything under the sun, almost everything that's ever been wrong in a football program, and the lack of character, the lack of integrity. Meanwhile, while Fulmer is on the stage, basically just holding a retirement party for him while he was up there saying that they've never been prouder and all the things that have happened, and you know, he's the shining light of the Tennessee football program. It was unbelievable to watch how they handled that press conference yesterday.
And of course, as you can expect, I will let you know that I have done the hard work here translating these comments at the press conference. I thought that there needed to be some translation. So at theathletic.com, you can enjoy my translation of some of these comments that make things a little bit clearer. You know, one of the things I really enjoyed was Dondi Plowman making it clear that, you know, in Jeremy Pruitt's contract, it even states that, you know, he's responsible for the people he hires, you know? I mean, she really made that clear. You know, because obviously we know two assistants, Brian Niedermeyer, Shelton Felton, along with the personnel director and nine other people fired, all people that are under Jeremy Pruitt. So making it very clear that Jeremy Pruitt is responsible for the conduct of people he hires. But what she didn't say is that, you know, Tennessee and Philip Fulmer are not responsible for the conduct of Jeremy Pruitt. So it works out very well for them. It works out very nicely for them. He has that accountability. They don't. I mean, I did not want to come in today, you know, the day that Jeremy Pruitt was fired, and like defend the guy left and right. Cause he's inept.
Trust me, neither did I.
I mean, he's inept and he should have been fired. I can't blame Philip Fulmer that much for the hire, because at the time it was basically him or Mel Tucker. You know, it was two coordinators that you're taking a chance on. There wasn't much there. But I mean, this is what they're doing here in the name of saving $12 million. I mean, you know, they're trying to bury this dude's career, whether they acknowledge that or not. I mean, they're trying to make it so he never coaches again. And it's just too much, man.
Yeah, it's we heard yesterday, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Tennessee's laying out all the reasons that apparently, like, the moral high ground at Tennessee is just, it's above reproach. And there's nothing there. They put, you know, integrity above everything else. And there were comments made yesterday by Randy Boyd, president of the University of Tennessee, talking about that and talking about the way you have to go about doing things at Tennessee. Here's what Randy Boyd had to say.
If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. If there is anyone in our athletics departments in Knoxville or elsewhere who hasn't heard that message yet, you're hearing it now. If you can't win the right way, you don't belong here.
So here we are from Randy Boyd. All of a sudden, when all this nonsense has come out, that if you can't win the right way here, you don't belong here at Tennessee, which we all know is just total crap. I mean, it's total hogwash what he's throwing out there. And basically, you know, you're trying to come out with this big march on integrity. You're in a, you know, a multi-billion dollar business in college football in the SEC, where we know stuff like this goes on all the time. And you're talking about Jeremy Pruitt and saying, if you can't win the right way, you don't belong here. It was unbelievable, the sell job that Randy Boyd was trying to pull off yesterday.
Well, they don't make shovels big enough for the BS that was just being heaped all over that stage. I mean, it's and listen, you know, I'm sure Randy Boyd, Dante Plummer, you know, hey, they've never seen any cheating take place. So what cheating are you talking about? It's just, again, I mean, they're not stupid and they understand how things work, but they're going to do this dog and pony show and make this big deal. So I'm glad Tommy Dees, you know, my former boss at the Tennessean, does a great job. He's the SEC and Alabama sports editor for Gannett right now. So and this is a case that goes back. So I covered Michigan State at the time. Do you remember the Albert Means case?
Yeah.
You know, he was, I believe he's from Memphis. Yeah. Defensive lineman. Everybody wanted him. And his high school coach basically ended up like listing out the programs that were bidding on him. And Michigan State was one of them. This is when Bobby Williams, right after Saban left, and Bobby Williams was the coach. Anyway, so Tommy Dees brought that up because, of course, yeah, obviously in Fulmer's past, there's been plenty of stuff about recruiting. There's also been him turning in schools. We know this. But Tommy tweets yesterday about the Means case, you know, and of course, again, there's Memphis involved, Alabama. Tommy Dees says, this is a quote from his tweet, quote, I covered a lot of that case. There was a federal court finding that UT would get the last chance to top any bid for Means. So this was in federal court. This happened at a party that a Tennessee booster threw for Fulmer. Again, like, yeah, I mean, no kidding, okay? No kidding. I mean, basically, it's just if you get caught, you have no integrity and you are a cheater. And if you don't get caught, you are, again, a paragon of virtue. I mean, let's get real. And if you want to talk about integrity in this day and age, in the year 2021, you want to talk about integrity and you want to go with the old, these kids who have their hands out. We want kids with integrity and parents with integrity. Okay, then good luck with that. Good luck with that, building your product. Good luck recruiting. Good luck. And how about the fact that we're talking billions and billions and a kid would get an NCAA violation for getting $10 for his autograph right now? I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
It is. And while all this nonsense is up there being spewed on the stage yesterday in Knoxville, Fulmer is sitting up there, and he looks so uncomfortable the entire time. I mean, he would rather be anywhere else on the earth than where he is in this moment. And I think it was David Oven that asked him about Jeremy Pruitt and his tenure and what he'll be remembered for at Tennessee, and Fulmer gave just an absolute doozy of a response. Here's what Philip Fulmer had to say.
We found the program in quite a mess at the time. I think we definitely have upgraded the program in general, relationships on campus, relationships period. Certainly the recruiting has been good. There's some really outstanding young men in the program, not that there wasn't before. Definitely there's just lots of good things that have happened. This is very unfortunate in the sense that we're going to have to work really hard to keep it from setting us back.
So that was Philip Fulmer yesterday. And keep in mind, the reason that everybody's up on that stage and it's about recruiting violations and you've just fired your coach, and Fulmer is staring off into the sun looking like he's not even really there. And recruiting has been, it takes about a 5-second pause and good. Yeah, buddy. I guess it has. I mean, it's just unbelievable how tone deaf and really just how uncomfortable that whole thing was. But I could not help but just lose it when he started talking about the recruiting being good yesterday at the press conference about the recruiting violations.
That line right there almost put this presser over the presser from 3 years ago with Beverly Davenport and Fulmer, but not quite, but it almost did. It's just incredible. So here's another Fulmer line. I'll give you a quick translation I had. So here's a Fulmer line from yesterday. "We are all deeply disappointed with the individuals who engage in the behavior described in the report." The translation is, "Jeremy, how could you have been so sloppy? I was a phone call away." And that's really what it is here, okay? It's you get caught and you are the bad guy. You're Hugh Freeze. You're sloppy. You do it right. I mean, like, seriously, does anyone think that Jeremy Pruitt, when he was at Georgia, Florida State, and Alabama, saw, you know, well, these guys get room and board and tuition, and by golly, they're going to be happy about it.
Right.
And then he comes to Tennessee and he just said, "I'm going rogue, baby. I am doing things my way. I am, it's different here." I mean, come on. Now, I will say he obviously is an idiot who doesn't know how to cheat right. And so, again, he deserves to be fired. But just this integrity crap is just, it's like I'm almost too mad to talk anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable what we saw on the stage yesterday, and we'll continue to react to that all show long. When we come back, I mean, there were some thoughts just running through my head yesterday watching all this go down that make me think, if you're a Tennessee fan, you have to question how in the world you're ever going to get out of this based on the leadership that we saw on display yesterday. We'll discuss that a little bit more when we come back, and how bad could this end up being for Tennessee with this investigation? All that's still on the table. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What a toxic mess. What an absolutely bungled, toxic mess. If they're going to do this, it needs to be done in a timely way. And by delaying everything the way that they have put themselves in a situation that complicates the coaching search. It complicates recruiting tremendously. It makes the players that are already here think that they're going to be left holding the bag, and other recruits for down the road thinking, "I don't want to be anywhere near a place like that."
That was Trevor Maddich on with Stillman and Company yesterday, talking about the environment right now at the University of Tennessee. Well done, Ryan Porth. Coming back with a little Britney Spears. That's one of your best.
It's toxic.
Yes, that's certainly one word for it when you're watching all that mess come down yesterday at the University of Tennessee. And Joe, I'm watching all this happen yesterday, and keep in mind, I've talked about this for months, and I've been ready to move on from Jeremy Pruitt for a long time. I've made my feelings quite clear on this program and on other programs about how I feel about Jeremy Pruitt and the way that he's done this. So I don't want anything I'm about to say to come off as defending Jeremy Pruitt, because if there's anybody that's not going to defend Jeremy Pruitt, it's me. But I'm watching all this happen yesterday, between the wording of what's going on with Philip Fulmer and the retirement that they expect us to believe, that all of a sudden, after signing a contract extension that takes him through the year 2023, that he's just going to up and decide to retire right now and at this point, and that further than that, it has nothing to do with what's going on right now. Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. But then to watch what happened on that stage yesterday and the leadership or lack thereof being displayed by Dondi Plowman, Randy Boyd, the university as a whole. If I'm a Tennessee fan, even if you wanted Jeremy Pruitt to be fired, which I think a lot of people did, I have no clue how you can forecast the next few weeks and months here with the AD search and the coaching search and have any confidence whatsoever that this is going to get fixed and get fixed in a way where you're back to being competitive. Like, who knows what's going to happen with the NCAA? Even that part aside, let's just say that nothing happens, that they don't get hammered by the NCAA. How you could have any confidence in the world in this administration, in this environment at Tennessee, based on what we've seen the last 12 years, based on the way that they've handled this, they came out publicly and handled this yesterday. I mean, it's a joke. This entire athletic department, this entire university, and the way that they handle things around this football program is an absolute joke. And yeah, you can keep coming in and changing things up and switching out the moving parts, bringing in new ADs, bringing in new coaches. But the fact of the matter is, the environment around that place, the people in charge of making decisions, they have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what the hell they're doing. And it was on display yesterday fully. And I'm sitting there watching that as someone who has loved Tennessee football and has watched Tennessee football ever since I was 4 years old. I'm watching this happen and thinking to myself, they are totally screwed. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what decision. I mean, they can't even walk right now. They don't know their left from their right and what's going on with this program. I mean, think about, you know, we talked about this memorandum that they, I guess, hand-delivered to Jeremy Pruitt. I think Elijah Campbell pointed this out yesterday. The date's wrong. They didn't get the right date for Jeremy Pruitt on his document letting him know that he's been fired. They had said January 18th, 2020. I mean, it's just unbelievable how inept this football program and this university is when it comes to making decisions. And it was on full display yesterday.
Yeah, look, you know, I'm sure Plowman and Boyd are like do a good job in their actual jobs, you know? I mean, hey, I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure they on a daily basis, you know, they do a fine job with the university. But when you get people like this into this world, it's just it's a really and look, I don't think this is confined to Tennessee. I think that whenever you mix these worlds, it's really interesting that these higher education ideals and then people trying to act like everyone doesn't sell their soul to win, you know. And again, I can't buy for a second that they're that stupid. I just can't buy it. I mean, you can insulate yourself if you like, but if you have any clue, any sense for what's going on, you know what has to happen for major college football and basketball programs to compete at the highest level. And so it's just, it's so disingenuous. It's amazing. And then, like you said, Robbie, like the incompetence, like the document, it's just like, how could you make that mistake? You know, you go through all this vetting, all this work, and then you make a mistake like that. And frankly, look, maybe they'll contest what Pruitt's lawyer says, but if what Pruitt's lawyer said is accurate and the way it all went down, I mean, it's a blatant attempt to sort of say like, hey, everything's fine, Jeremy. Okay, fine, Jeremy, you're fired. Get out of here. And now, you know, let's have a presser and get public sentiment on the side of Jeremy Pruitt is the evil, bad man and deserves no money. And that's all that was. It's ridiculous. And then you think about in this exact league with a coach who does win, we have the exact opposite. We spin everything like, yeah, nothing to see here. Will Wade is, hey. Will Wade has been basically caught red-handed cheating, talking on the phone, FBI taps. We all know this about giving players money. But you know what? Will Wade wins enough so that these same administrators, and I know it's a different school, but it's the same thing. It's the same people who just they don't want to acknowledge what really goes on, and they just want to be separated from it. They're just going to, hey, yeah, everything's fine. And if Jeremy Pruitt were winning big at Tennessee, this stuff would not have happened.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's just the state of college athletics. And it is kind of incredible to think about. You go through this whole process, you're caught cheating, and you still end up as bad as this Tennessee team was, which is just unbelievable to go back and think about how bad they were with all this going on. But now the question becomes, all right, you've moved on from Pruitt. What happens next in terms of the NCAA? And what are the sanctions going to be? Are there going to be sanctions? Like, you've self-reported this, you've done your own internal investigation, and obviously you come to the conclusion that you've moved on from 10 people as of yesterday. You're hoping not to pay a buyout to Jeremy Pruitt and a few others on his staff. But what does it look like? What is the scope of all this? And Dondi Plowman was asked about this yesterday at the press conference. Tennessee Chancellor, here's what she had to say.
The computer just shut down.
Oh.
So we don't have that clip just yet.
That's okay. Joe Rexroad, we can sum it up in what she was having to say. She was asked about the scope of all this and basically, you know, just went on to say that she was shocked to see the scope and how deep it ran with Pruitt and creating the environment of, you know, not being able to have compliance as a big part of the program. And it was just, you know, more opportunity for Plowman yesterday to take that shovel and heap more dirt on Jeremy Pruitt, which was clearly the intent right from the start. And I think the one moment where she was obviously all honest yesterday was when they asked her about, you know, the buyout situation with Pruitt and where that stood. And she said, well, he was fired with cause, so there will be no buyout. That's what the entire point of that press conference was about yesterday. That was the one moment of honesty.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that boils the whole thing down. Yeah, let me translate that. Shocking and stunning were two words she used. So, again, if Pruitt were having the football success comparable to, say, Will Wade, those words would be like misunderstanding and unfortunate and things like that. And, you know, there'd be a way to other people would be fired, you know, like obviously there's some direct stuff here, some serious stuff. I think there are going to be some sanctions beyond, you know, Tennessee's own investigation findings. I mean, I think they're going to get hit. It's so hard right now to say how hard, but I mean, I think like a postseason ban and some scholarships certainly will be on the table. You know, without seeing the report, it's hard to say for sure. But I will say that over the last few weeks, I've heard some bits and pieces of what's in there. And I mean, there's some stuff, you know, again, this is real stuff. And I think as we'll find out, some players said a lot, at least one player said a lot during this. It will be central in terms of this information. I don't know if that's the quote unquote source Donnie Plowman was talking about, but I mean, it's serious stuff. But yes, again, this whole idea that that this is, you must fire the head coach because of this stuff. No, you don't. You would fire the assistants, you know, Niedermeyer, Shelton Felton, if they were directly involved in things like this. But if you, plenty of places have had situations comparable to this and found a way to still keep the head coach because the head coach is winning.
Exactly. So that nonsense that got spewed out there yesterday, this is not happening if Jeremy Pruitt is 7-3 instead of 3-7. And I think we all know that based on the way college athletics work. Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Now that Jeremy Pruitt is out, which Vols football coaching hire was most damaging to the program? 200 votes so far, and the options are Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and Jeremy Pruitt. So the last four hires made by the University of Tennessee. Right now, 42% going with Derek Dooley, 24% with Lane Kiffin, 19% with Jeremy Pruitt, and just 15% with Butch Jones. So Derek Dooley, Joe Rexrow, the early lead in a brilliant poll question devised by you.
History starting to smile on the great Butch Jones. Ah, yes, brick by brick. He wasn't all that bad after all. Now, for anyone voting for Pruitt, and I know we'll talk about this more on the show, I could do a sub-poll question there, too. If you believe it's Pruitt, then do you think that it was all a big mistake on Shiano Sunday? Because that's where some people are going with this, and you knew they would. You knew they would. I have my thoughts on that I don't necessarily buy it. But, I mean, if you're going to revisit this hire, you have to revisit the hire that was supposed to be made, and that actually was briefly made.
Exactly. And that like you said, that was brought up a lot yesterday in the national media, and that's going to continue to be brought up in the next few days here as we go through. We're going to have Blake Topmeyer on at 7 o'clock to join us. We'll get into the latest of all things Tennessee football with him, the mess that took place yesterday with the firing of Jeremy Pruitt and the retirement of Philip Fulmer. So that coming up at 7 o'clock to begin the next hour. When we come back, Aaron Murray, former Georgia quarterback, made some very interesting comments a couple of years ago, right when Jeremy Pruitt was hired, about his future, about what he thought was going to happen at Tennessee. Turns out he might have been right. We'll revisit those comments on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel join us to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Talking about Tennessee football, the firing of Jeremy Pruitt, and the retirement of Philip Fulmer all show long. And you can get in on the action at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Joe, Aaron Murray, former Georgia quarterback, was on the station here on ESPN 102.5 The Game a couple of years ago, back when Jeremy Pruitt was first hired and first getting started here with his football program, and had some interesting comments on Jeremy Pruitt, the personality that he had at Georgia, and just what his forecast looked like as a head coach at Tennessee. Here's what Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray had to say.
Honestly, I don't know if his personality is fit to be a head coach. I don't. As a head coach, there's so many things that go into it. It's not just going out there and coaching. You have to deal with front office. You have to go talk with the president of the university. You have to deal with boosters. You have to deal with the offense, the defense. It's not just going there and dealing with the kids and scheming up. There's a lot that goes into it. I don't think he's the right guy to kind of be the CEO of a corporation. He's really good managing just a defense and being a defensive coordinator. He needs to prove to me that he can handle the whole ship. For right now, I don't think he can. We'll see what happens this year when I don't think it helps that he doesn't have a lot of talent at Tennessee.
So that was Aaron Murray a couple years ago when Jeremy Pruitt was getting started as head coach at Tennessee. And Joe, I think back to those comments made and remember what the reaction was from Tennessee fans. And obviously, you know, when you got a new coach, there's excitement that comes with it. You're glad to be out from under the thumb of Butch Jones. And you feel like anything you bring in, with the exception of Greg Schiano, was going to work out pretty well, and you're excited about the future. And Aaron Murray goes on that rant talking about how, you know, he's great on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think he can handle being the CEO of a program, the head coach of a major football program like Tennessee. And you revisit those comments right now, Aaron Murray looking pretty smart at this point.
Yeah, you know, it's those comments sound pretty spot on right now. Obviously, you know, I think with Aaron Murray there was some personal stuff because there were some people who were very unhappy with how Pruitt treated Mark Richt, and it was, I don't want to say coup, but certainly it sounds like he was basically undermining him, and kind of had a very fiery kind of vocal personality, didn't like how, you know, some of the things that were being done, and kind of voiced it and basically, you know, just clashed with the head coach and some people who, you know, Mark Richt is one of those guys. Most people really like him a lot. I think obviously Georgia has benefited from the switch from Mark Richt to Kirby Smart, but a lot of people that left a bad taste in the mouth of some people. Our Seth Emerson, who covers Georgia for the Athletic, he's talked about this. You know, some of those Georgia players absolutely love Pruitt and, run through a wall for him. Some didn't. You know, he's a bit of a polarizing personality. But I think the point about, I mean, again, like talking to the administration, I mean, Pruitt with the media was terrible. You know, I mean, like, I feel like there should be some kind of grammar, you know, like prerequisite to have a job like that. Like, you know, I'm not saying you need to use like 25-cent words all the time, but like know how to conjugate verbs. I'm not saying you need to know what asparagus is. I mean, I think you're missing out if you don't like asparagus.
I agree.
In life. You know, I mean, I just think that's a miss on your part, but he just, he was a ball coach. He was a ball coach. Problem is he'd never been a head coach. And again, I don't overhammer Fulmer on that because the situation was created before Fulmer got, you know, put in the spot of trying to hire him. But it can't be that shocking as we stand here today that this flamed out. I mean, Tennessee should always hire someone who has demonstrated success as a head coach.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not sitting here shocked today that this is the way things have gone. I think pretty early on in this season, it was obvious that he was losing control and that things were unraveling inside his football program. And this does not surprise me whatsoever. And you mentioned like the experiences that Aaron Murray had with Jeremy Pruitt during his time at Georgia and how that's probably factoring into maybe some of the personal things that he saw with Georgia and Mark Richt in that football program. Aaron Murray also talked about that a couple of years ago here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Here's what Aaron Murray had to say.
Mine is when he was at Georgia, and the way he acted, the way he treated Coach Richt, I thought was poor. He wasn't as respectful as I thought a defense coordinator should be to a head coach. So that's my thing with authority. When he's dealing with the athletic director, when he's dealing with the president, when he's dealing with a booster who's giving millions of dollars, you can't go tell him to screw off. You got to go. You have to take the meeting. You got to sit with them. Yeah, I know you want to be game planning and getting ready for the game, but you're a head coach now. You have to do these other things. where, like I said, I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. I think he's, when he has one mission, he's really good. But when you have to be pulled in 100 different directions, you have to be respectful and sit in all this other stuff. He needs to show me he can do that. I'm not saying he can't. He needs to show me he can. And that's his biggest hurdle as a head coach.
So, Joe, you hear those comments from Aaron Murray, and, you know, it's easy to look back now and say, yeah, he could not handle the responsibility of being a head coach very well. As you view Jeremy Pruitt the last three seasons and watch what's gone on and the way that he's interacted with people and the way that inside the football program, you know, we've talked about it before even on the show this year of, you know, you've got obviously some friction between him and Jim Chaney, and you're firing a coach, you know, four games into the season this year. I mean, it was pretty clear that he wasn't the, you know, the rosiest guy to work for. But I just wonder how much his personality has led to what we're ultimately seeing. I know that we're talking about cheating and recruiting and all that stuff, but I just wonder how much his personality and the way that he likes to be just centrally focused on one side of the ball and trying to take that next step and become the head coach of a big-time college football program. It's hard to handle, and obviously he did not handle it very well.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is, it's just like with cheating, though, to me, you can be the biggest jerk in the world if you're winning, you know? Yep. I mean, and Nick Saban proves that. I mean, I understand that now, all of a sudden now Nick Saban's everybody's fluffy kitty now, but Nick Saban rubbed a lot of people the wrong way at a lot of places he's worked. And you know what? The guy won. The guy brought in players. He won football games. And everyone was just fine with it. And he has a statue constructed where he works now. So, I mean, that's what it's about, man. You either get it done or you don't. You said it earlier. I mean, if you're cheating this much, and they've recruited well, but they still haven't recruited at the highest level of the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the recruiting success they've had, I heard some people yesterday talking about, like, oh, now look at the recruiting. Now it all makes sense. Well, I mean, I think Tennessee has recruited well forever and ever, haven't they? When's the last time Tennessee didn't recruit? I guess Dooley had a couple classes that really dipped.
Right.
But, I mean, for the most part, Tennessee has recruited well. I think, like, Ole Miss was kind of an outlier situation. When Ole Miss jumps up and gets the number one class, that's one of those everyone raises their eyebrows, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Tennessee's recruiting was like everyone saying, oh, my God, they must be cheating. I mean, that's how Tennessee recruits. Now, has Tennessee cheated now and in the past? Are you kidding me? Of course they have. And so does everybody else in this freaking league. I mean, let's get real here.
Yeah, I mean, this is not exclusive to Tennessee. And like you said, I mean, recruiting-wise, it's amazing to think about you're cheating and you're not doing even better in recruiting. You're Tennessee. I mean, you're still able to recruit, and you finished 3-7 this year with all this going on. It's just amazing how inept this football program is. Can't even cheat the right way. That's what we learned yesterday. When you cheat, it still doesn't work out. You still can't win games. So an amazing development yesterday in Knoxville. One of those things that we talk about, this program being a soap opera. That's exactly what it felt like yesterday. And a guy who was at the center of it all was Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel. He'll join us with his reaction next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.